You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
There we go. The end of the world, according to Paul. Carol told me I better put St. Paul or Paul the Apostle, so you don't think it's me. So does everyone have a handout here for today? If you need one, raise your hand. Les will make sure you get one. It's got a... has all the scripture references, everything I'm going to say. Reference to... anyone else need one? Because you can't call me crazy without a handout. And if you call me crazy, you know, by the way, we're having lunch here today afterwards, so hopefully everyone will stick around. And it is a volunteers appreciation luncheon immediately after the service. So everyone who can, we're going to have there'd be a lot of brisket going on back there and ribs and stuff. And so if you're able to, stick around here afterwards. Let's get into some serious meat now, though. Now, we're back here with another week in this ongoing series of Understanding Eschatology. Now, we left off last week looking at the rapture. If you can think back to last Sunday, we discovered that this catching away of the saints will take place immediately after the dead in Christ are raised up from the dead. And that day, we've learned through careful study, is on the last day. But then again, listen to what Peter wrote. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Now, in this instance, this is designed to make your head spin. In other words, of that day and of that hour knoweth no man. That scripture is put in there to make your head spin sideways. Dora? She doesn't need any help. You got to see her on Wednesday night. Have your head spinning sideways anyway. No one knows the day or the hour. Just when you think you've got it down, you run into, well, I know it. It's the last day. But now he says a day could be. The question is, you need to be ready for whenever that is. This we know, the dead in Christ are raised up on the last day. The week before that, we looked at the two witnesses who prophesy in Jerusalem for 3.5 years. Boy, would I love to be with you in Jerusalem when that happens. So now today, my sermon is the end of the world according to St. Paul. We're going through a series here at the church, Understanding Eschatology, which is the study of end times. Because it's confusing and it's, well, it can be confusing without a proper understanding of it. In a roundabout way, we're building on last week's sermon concerning the rapture. No one understand that even back then, this was a very important teaching. So listen to this verse. This is 2 Timothy 2:16. Listen to this. Paul says when he wrote to Timothy, Pastor Timothy, he said, shun profane and idle babbling. because they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer or gangrene. Then he says this, Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already come. And they overthrow the faith of some. So now I put it to you that these guys were telling people 2,000 years ago, Darren, that they missed the rapture. Because according to Paul, the day of the rapture was resurrection day. The day of the rapture was resurrection day. So if you tell people they miss resurrection day, you're telling people, but more specifically, that they miss the rapture. Because according to Paul, it's the same day. Because the dead in Christ rise first. Dead people will rise at the end of the age. Right? Now, this exact thought is what I want to build on and share with you here this morning. Not only did Hymenaeus and Philetus tell people that they missed the rapture, but someone wrote a letter to the Thessalonians pretending to be Paul. And in that letter, they too told the people there that they had missed the rapture. And in response to that phony letter, Paul's going to give us some more eschatology, truth. Now, let's pick it up today. We're in 2 Thessalonians in your Bible, chapter 2, starting in verse 1, under the heading, The Great Apostasy. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, here we go. He says, now, brethren, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him, we ask you. All right, catch the subject matter. Very important. What we've been talking about every week in here for the past month. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's what started all this. That's the subject matter. Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and the gathering together to him. That's meeting the Lord in the air. That's the subject. That's what he's writing about. That's what he's going to talk about this whole chapter. It's Jesus' return and our gathering together to meet him in the sky. Now, concerning the return of the Lord and our gathering together to him. Now, remember, this is key as we move on. He does not change subject matters in this chapter. He's going to stay on the same subject. Verse 2. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by a spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. You see, one of these knuckleheads, maybe Hymenaeus or Philetus, they wrote to this church, forging a letter in Paul's name, telling them that they missed the rapture. Paul's response is, don't be disturbed, don't be shaken, either by spirit or a word or a letter that is some kind of thus saith the Lord forgery, saying that the day of Christ had come or saying that you missed the rapture. See, the day of Christ is the day when Christ returns. I gave you the scripture references on the handout. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. On the day of Christ. I don't have the time right now to get into that, but go on that bunny trail sometime and look and see. The day of Christ is a good day. The day of the Lord is a bad day. the day of the judgment of God that's going to fall on this wicked world. The day of Christ is a good day. They're different days. Subject matter: the coming of the Lord Jesus and our being gathered together to him. Don't be shaken in mind. Don't be troubled, either by a spirit or a word or a letter, as if it came from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Now, to counteract this false letter and this claim that they had somehow missed the rapture, Paul's going to give them a new, more detailed understanding of this. Verse 3 starts with the words, "Let no one deceive you by any means," meaning here comes the real truth, directly from the throne of God, not from these lying phonies that wrote this letter. Here comes the truth, he's saying. That's why he says, don't see to it, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? The day of Christ. Hear me, the subject matter has not changed. We're talking about the rapture of the church. Don't let some knucklehead tell you you missed it. Hasn't happened yet. That day will not come unless. Now you should write a little colon there, because here comes his list. Don't let these guys trick you. You didn't miss anything. This has to happen first, before that can happen. Number one, the falling away comes first. You didn't miss any rapture. You didn't miss anything. Don't let the man or the woman on TV deceive you. Don't let the letter, don't let anyone trick you. People that say, well, the rapture could come at any second. Paul says, no, the Holy Spirit says, these things here have to happen first before that can happen. Number one, the falling away comes first. So what's that? It's a falling away from the faith. You see, when it gets hot in the kitchen, I believe there's going to be a mother of all fallen aways that's going to take place. Although in general, it has already happened, which depending on how you take it is either good or bad. But the time is coming. Here's how Jesus put it. Let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. Let me read it out of the New American Standard. Matthew 24, 9. Jesus speaking. He says, then they will deliver you up. Now, he's writing this to Christians. He's writing this to Christians. He's not writing this to unbelievers. He says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and they will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. Listen. At that time, many will fall away. And they will betray one another. And they will hate one another. Many false prophets will arise up and mislead many. Because lawlessness will increase, most people's love will grow cold. He who endures to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So we see that near the end, at the mere sight of Christians being killed, all of the lukewarm Christians out here in the world, all the fence sitters, all the bench warmers, all those that are Christians in name only. For the politicians, Republicans, they call them rhinos. These, I guess we'd call chinos. Christians in name only. At the mere sight, now this is not me telling you, this is Jesus telling you the future. This is not me, I'm just the preacher. Jesus said the time is coming when so-called people who call themselves Christian see other Christians die because of his name, Jesus is telling you this. At that time, see, this is why I was wrong, telling you all that the falling away has already happened. In some ways it has. Look around. Look at the government. Look in the schools. Look around you today. This country's fallen away from the faith. However, the time is coming here when this mother of all fallen aways is going to happen. Jesus said, he said, at that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. This is the great falling away. Only God knows where you stand today. And it's not in the same place that you think that you stand. Let me clue you in. You're not standing where you think that you are. Only God knows where you stand. I love the Rich Mullins song that says, we are not as strong as we think we are. Oh, we are not as strong as we think we are. Now, in order for this not to happen to you, God has made your life difficult. Can I get an amen? Amen. God's made your life difficult so that you would develop a spiritual spine. So that when this happens to you, you will say, hitteth the road, devil. Taketh a hike. That comes through humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God while he sees you through what trouble you're going through. James wrote it this way. He said, consider it pure joy, it says in the NIV. Pure joy. I'm still struggling with that. How about you? Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith develops, next word, perseverance. That's what these guys had. Perseverance. That's what put the three Hebrews in the furnace, is perseverance. That's what made David go out and fight someone 9'6" was perseverance. That God develops in you. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says you will be exalted in due time. Wait on the Lord to deliver you through trials you're going through. And God will develop in you this spiritual compound for you to be able to stand at times like this. It never comes on the mountaintop. It never comes through good, happy things. It comes through letting God deliver you at a time of trial in your life. Maybe you're not in one now. I heard Joe Stoll say once, you're either one of two people. Or three people. You're either in a trial, or you just came out of a trial, or you're about to go into a trial. You're either one. NIV then says this, let perseverance finish its work. Meaning, don't cut bait and run. Let perseverance finish its work so that, see, there's a reason for it. It's not willy-nilly. God doesn't like seeing you suffer. He's doing work in you. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Some translations say perfect. Not lacking anything. And I'll add to that in my own vernacular so that you can go out here and kick a little Antichrist fanny. God's looking for a few good men. We got a volunteer here. You don't got to go to Jerusalem to volunteer. You can volunteer right here. He's just looking for a few good men and women like the uncle. I want you to fill God's army, to go out here and be beacons of light in this crooked and evil world. It's upside down. He chooses to use people to turn it right side up. He could speak it that way, but he doesn't choose that way. He chooses to use us to do it. We are God's hands and feet. Back to what I'm saying here, I believe Christians all over the world at this time are going to have to show what they're made of. That, Christian, is the first reason given by the Apostle Paul for why this rapture hasn't taken place yet. Because that, what I just described to you, hasn't happened. You mean all that trouble has to happen first before the rapture? Yes. The rapture's not till the last day. Read that in your Bible, right? How many times did we look at that? Not a test like this. This hasn't happened. Okay, you want more proof? Daniel 7:21. Here's a little out of the old, little out of the new. Daniel 7:21, Daniel says this, I was watching, and the same horn, now remember horn, the little horn, back when I was a kid, us Italians used to wear this thing. You know what it was called? The Italian horn. That's where this came from. This Antichrist is this little horn that comes out of Rome, the Italian horn. He goes, I was watching, and this little horn was making war against the saints. And he was prevailing against them. Where is that in my Bible? I'm glad you asked. Daniel chapter 7, verse 21. If you want to see that the day is going to come when you're going to have to stand up for yourself and walk in all the pizzazz and the spiritual fortitude that God's been developing in you all these years. I was watching, and the same horn was making war with the saints, and he was prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was made in favor of the saints of El Elyon, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. So just who is a saint anyway? People say, oh, the saints are Jews. You know, I once heard this old story about old Oliver Cromwell. He was the ruler in England in the 1600s. And they couldn't find any coins. They were all out of coins. So Oliver Cromwell sent his army out. They say, go to the cathedral, see if you can find some coins. We're out of money here. So the troops came back and they said to Oliver Cromwell, the only silver we could find were the statues of the saints standing in the corners. So Oliver said to them, good, we'll melt down the saints and we'll put them into circulation. That's what I think needs to happen. God needs to melt down a couple saints around here. Put you into circulation. This one out of the New Testament. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 says it was granted to him, that's Antichrist, this little horn, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. You see, he might overcome them, but he's not going to overcome me because I follow my Bible, which instructs me, and I encourage you to. The Bible says in Revelation 12, 11, it says they, that's you and me, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives unto the death. How do you overcome evil in the end of the age? Left hand on a Bible, right hand up. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. And The Bible teaches us that Jesus' blood obliterates your sins and makes you right with God. Right? Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're made right by the blood of the Savior. That's how you stand. There's power in the blood. We don't see it really or understand it. Listen to how you persevere at the end of the age. Listen to how you persevere here today or tonight when you're sleeping and a devil comes knocking on your door. We overcome him by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the word of our testimony. He owns me, devil. My name's in the book. Jesus Christ is my Lord. That's what we do to offer salvation to people here. You don't got to jump through hoops. You don't got to put money in the offering plate. You don't have to be baptized. You have to say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. That's how you overcome. The great fallen away. First thing on Paul's list that must take place before the Son of God returns. Your faith is going to be tested first. No rapture on this world until your faith is tested. If you're alive to see this when this happens, it ain't going to happen until your faith is tested, until you make a stand for Jesus Christ. The second thing is the rest of this verse. The falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed. Apokalypsis is the Greek word. Better yet, we could say the man of sin is, poof, what did you say? Unveiled. Like a car under wraps at a car show. Or an Agatha Christie murder mystery. Usually those things are unveiled at the end. The last page of a novel. The car's under wraps. This stuff, no false letters saying any. None of that's going to happen until your faith is tested and the man of sin is. And they pull the cover off. You see, he might have been here all along. The whole time. Someone you've known intimately for many, many years. The man of sin is unveiled. The covering that keeps you from knowing him will be lifted. And then you'll know him. And Paul said, rapture, schmapture. You ain't going to see nothing until these two things happen first. The testing of your faith. What are you made of, Christian? What are you made of? How's your spine? And do you know the name of the Antichrist? I would say, right? I mean, he's got to be unveiled. You're not going to see any kind of rapture until you know the man's name. Once you know his name, then it'll happen so fast, you won't get a letter out of your mouth and whoop, up you go. Hallelujah, that's good news. You won't have time to tell a friend. That'll happen so fast, Paul said, and watch this, ready?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.